Amen. If we'd open our Bibles this morning to Psalm chapter 68. Psalm 68, we're going to take our text from one verse. Verse 18. Thou hast ascended on high, thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts from men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we read, Lord, where your gifts have not only gone to the believer, but to the unbeliever. And yet it says that the purpose of those gifts is that the Lord God might dwell among us. And so, Lord, we're confident, Father, that as your prophet taught us, the false anointed ones at the end time, that we understand it's not the anointing that's false, but it's what they teach is false. And so the anointing is genuine. And we know that your reign falls upon the just and the unjust. And we know that, Lord, that you've given gifts even to the rebellious only. And yet, Father, gifts and callings we know are without repentance. And so, Father, we pray today as we would study your word that we might understand that it all comes back to vindication, because people think that John 14:12 is about gifts. It's not about gifts. It's about the giver. It's about the life of the giver living itself out in the vessels of honor that were made before the, or fashioned in your mind before the foundations of the world, and that were to come forth as a capstone ministry. And so, Lord, we're committed ourselves to the hearing of the word through thy vindicated prophet and through the vindication of your prophets through the Bible. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, this morning we're going to continue with Brother Branham's sermon, Christ is the Mystery of God Revealed. And I'm going to read from paragraph 210 through 213, where Brother Branham says, in fact, I think just through 212, and where Brother Branham said Jesus wasn't a great theologian. He was a common peasant, a carpenter's son, so-called. See, he walked around, but God, he said, some of you show me what the Bible says that I will do that I haven't done. So the church can do the same thing today, what Christ did, so does the church do now. That day that you'll know that I'm in the Father in me, I in you, and you in me. See, there you go, marching on to Zion to where? The kingdom. At that day you will know that I'm in you. Now, I know there's people who probably think, well, Brian Kosorchus can't get off John 14:12. It's not me, it's the prophet that can't get off John 14:12. You find it everywhere you read once your eyes are open to it. It's just like the parousia. Once your eyes were open to the appearing versus the coming, that there's a parousia presence of Jesus Christ, you saw it everywhere in Scripture. Once your eyes were open that God has a son and that God isn't his son, but he's the father of the son, your eyes see it everywhere. And it's the same thing with this. So I'm reading from Brother Branham. We're at paragraph 210. We read 28 and 209 last week. And we're at 210. And now in 211, he said, now watch here. Here's a beautiful thing. I don't want you to miss this. Now, everybody and you people on tape out in the jungles and wherever you hear it. Now, listen, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. Jesus said, see, now watch. The Father that sent him went in him to vindicate himself right. For he was the Word. And the same Jesus that sends you goes with you and in you to vindicate the same God. So he's talking about you here. He's not talking about himself, but he's saying, what does it do? It doesn't vindicate you. It vindicates the same God. So when you do something, happen to do something that Jesus would have you do, and you do it in obedience, it's not vindicating you. It's vindicating God. There's no man. Jesus said, I can't do any healing. It's the Father that doeth the work. The Father that's in me, he doeth the work. Well, it's not you that does anything. It's the Father living in you. It's that God life in you that actually is just reflecting itself out from you. So he says, so I'll send you and live and live by you. As the Father sent me and I live by the Father, so I'll send you and you live by me. What is he? He's the Word. You live by the Word. Oh, how I could like to take a text on that and preach about a couple hours on it. See? Oh, and on that. Now we're getting to 212. Now notice, he said, the Father that sent me went with him. The Father that sends, the Jesus that sends us goes in. A little while and the world won't see me no more, yet you will see me. For I, personal pronoun, I, the person, Jesus, will be in you, even in you, to the end of the world. The works that I do shall you do also. Now go back and see what he done, then see what you do, and then compare yourself. You see, that's where we know how far along we are in our growth toward the Lord Jesus. Now, you know, when he says, see what he done, then see what you do. And remember, we spent a whole sermon where we went to about 20 or 30 items where it's, the Bible says he came to set the captive free. Did he set the captive free? Are you setting the captive free? Are your words binding people and holding people and separating from people? Or are your words trying to bring people closer to Jesus Christ? Or are your words, is your life so seeking out a special little gift or a special little revelation that you got, nobody else has, so that you can separate yourself from others? You see, that's the spirit of the devil. The spirit of Christ wants to bring the people together. Brother Bram always drew a bigger circle. And when people try to say, you got to listen to Brother Vail, and then they won't listen to Brother Branham, they miss the mark right there, because Brother Vail pointed you to Brother Branham. So if Brother Vail pointed you to Brother Branham, and Brother Vail told me many times, I've got it on tape, he said, 80% of what I say is to point him to that prophet. Well, if 80% of what he said was to point him to the prophet, that's a whole lot of messages pointing to a prophet, pointing to a vindicated word given from a prophet. So then people come along and say, no, Lee's got it. And I can show you many places where Brother Vail says, look, I don't have it 100%. He said, nobody has it 100%, but we know Brother Brown did. Brother Vail was humble that way, but people try to, there's a spirit of idolatry. That's all I can say. From who is this Melchizedek? Brother Brown said, no man can call Jesus the Christ only by the Holy Spirit. You say, well, I believe it because the Word says so. That's true, but the Word says so. But the Word says that no man can say Jesus is the Christ until you have received the Holy Ghost. No man can call Jesus the Christ only by the Holy Ghost. And last week we showed you where Brother Branham says, because God will confirm it in you. You see, if you don't have that confirmation of the Holy Spirit in you, how can you say it? It's just words. It's like people say, well, I believe the judge is here, and they live a life that's not worthy of standing before a judge. They don't believe the judge is here. They've got a doctrine. They've got a theology. Our theology says that God is here. So we can go out and we can, just live any old kind of life. That's not believing it. You by your fruits, you shall know them. So when Brother Branham speaks of, in Christ is the mystery of God revealed, paragraph 212, he says, he's not saying that you have to have the gifts of the Holy Ghost. He's telling you that you will have the giver himself, living himself out from you. Now, 212 again. Notice, and the Father that sent me went with him. The Father that sends. And that Jesus that sends us goes in. A little while and the world sees me no more, yet you shall see me. For I, personal pronoun, I, the person Jesus, will be in you even to the end of the world. The works that I do shall you do also. Now go back and see what he done, then see what you do, and then compare yourself. So he's not talking about looking to be a Jesus. He's talking about let Jesus be Jesus in you. From where I think Pentecost failed, he says, you don't have to talk so much about it. God does his own talking. God testifies of his gifts. But all of those gifts are wonderful. They're dandy, and we love them all. God grant that every one of us would have every gift, and I'd rather have the giver than all the gifts. Paul said, though I could have the gifts without the giver. Now, if we had went to seeking the giver instead of the gifts, I believe the church would have been farther up the road, don't you think so? If we stayed close to God and loved him and just kept living for him and not trying to push things over, just live for God and live a pure, holy life and live and pray every day, keep yourself refreshed in his presence, God will take care of the rest. And that is a problem I see in the church today. People are pushing ideas. Or that idea, this idea, that idea, this doctrine, this gift, or that gift. Instead of coming to the place where God's life, where God lives their life for them, and they are at a total peace with their self and with God. I tell you, there's no man that can be at total peace with God unless God is living in them. And it'll be manifested by your fruits. 2 Peter 1 and 2, grace and peace be multiplied through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. Philippians 4 and 7, and the peace of God which passes all our understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds through Jesus Christ. And Romans 5 and 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And what we find today is people are pressing themselves to be the only ones who have it. The only ones. And they will separate themselves from others who don't have what they think that they have, and they're in a delusion. God himself came down. God gave us a message through a prophet. It doesn't have to come from me. It doesn't have to come from anybody else, but it has to come through that prophet. And if you think you got to run after a teacher to find it, you're not going to find it. You're just not going to find it. What we find today is people are just pressing themselves to be the only ones who have it. Well, I have something to tell you. If you really have it, then the people will see Jesus Christ living in your life. But look, if you really, truly have it, then people will see Jesus Christ living your life for you. And you will have peace and rest in your soul. And if you're striving to find some special thing that will set you apart from everyone else, then you're on the wrong path. Brother Branham said, from works that I do will bear witness of me. He said, so friends, find divine love and favor with God. Then God, if he finds favor with you, will give gifts into you. But first find the giver. Seek the giver, then the gifts will come as God sees fit to give you. Do you believe that? So now, when you go around like this and different people seeking all night for gifts and things like that, go back till you find love. Till you shake hands with your brother across the street, then you're talking about getting the gifts in. That's right. When you get the love of God in your heart, then you talk about what you've got. So according to Brother Branham, it's not about the gifts, but the giver. And Paul said, where there are gifts, they shall fail. So don't talk to me about a gift from God. It can't fail. You know, I've got a gift from God. It can't fail. It can fail. Paul said, where there are gifts, they shall fail. He said, where there's wisdom, it'll fail. Where there's this, it'll fail. Where there's this, it'll fail. It's going to fail. But the giver cannot fail. People say, well, Brother Branham said he got a gift that can't fail. Brother Branham didn't talk about the gift. He talked about the giver. Messiahic sign is not about a gift. Messiahic sign is not a gift. Messiahic sign is the giver. It's the word resident in that person. From the Kinsman Redeemer, Brother Branham said, yesterday morning, we were lying in bed a little late and the children didn't have to go to school. And when we got to talking about different things and how, what was hatred? And I said, hatred had a beginning, so it has to have an end. Love had no beginning, so it has no end. Hatred is forever. Love is eternal. Hatred begins and hatred will end. Love never did begin and it never will end, and it's eternal. Now, from Abraham Restored, Brother Branham said, what did Jesus say to Peter? He said, blessed art thou, Simon, son of Jonas. You have never went to a seminary. You never learned this from a seminary. Flesh and blood never revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven has revealed this to you, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell can't prevail against it. That's the reason he gave them the keys. He had the revelation. It's revealed truth. Oh, them little things that they fight over and separate themselves, it shows it's not of God, or they wouldn't separate themselves like that. So when you've got something on you that wants to separate from people, that's not God. That's not the Holy Ghost. That's a devil. And I speak hard because there's these things happening. People are getting deluded. They're falling under false ministries that want to separate because they want to get you to themselves. Didn't Paul say that even among you there would arise people that would separate the sheep to themselves? Now listen, if you're sitting on a ministry that's truly of God, he doesn't say you have to listen to me to make it. He says you have to listen to the word to make it. From Abraham, he said, flesh and blood never revealed this to me, but my Father which is in heaven. Oh, them little things that they fight over and separate themselves, it shows it's not of God, or they wouldn't separate themselves like that. Why don't you come together and the brothers and sisters, let the power of God work among you. It'll work it all out. God's the tutor of the church, the Holy Spirit correctly. You don't have to use all of your life just trying to learn something like that. The best thing you know is you're saved and start walking with God. What he wants you to know, he will reveal it to you. Didn't the Bible promise us that if we be any otherwise minded, God would reveal it to every one of us. I have to do it. You have to do it. I didn't put my hand up and say, I've got this perfect peace. I don't have that perfect peace. Brother Branham didn't have that perfect peace. When Sister Graham went to him, she said, Brother Branham, I just feel like such a sinner. He said, don't worry, Sister Graham. He said, every day, he said, I feel that way. How can you say that you have what you don't have? You see, and when people get carried away with gifts, or what they think is a special revelation that they have and no one else has, all you got to do is just sit back and just watch. Just watch. And recognize that they don't understand the giver, God himself. They have no clue of whatever revelation that whatever revelation you get from God has got to come from his prophet. Doesn't come from a teacher. Teachers don't give revelation. Teachers only can talk about the revelation that's already been given. Pastors can't give you revelation. It's got to come through the prophet. That's God's vindicated channel. God said, I will do nothing except I reveal it through the prophet. Yes. It's got to come through the prophet. And if you bypass the prophet like people are doing, They did it in Coleman's group. They did it in Ewald Frank's group. They've done it in all these other groups. They even did it with Brother Vail. They came to, and they said, well, we don't need Brother Branham anymore. They didn't want that gift that the man had. They wanted to manipulate the gift that the man had. They'll take some of the quotes that he says, but they won't take all the things that he said. And Brother Vail said, you don't even have to listen to me. But they do the same thing with Brother Branham. But you got to listen to a vindicated prophet. So why don't they listen to the prophet? He didn't send preachers with the word. He didn't send apostles with the word. He didn't send evangelists. He sent prophets with the word. Plural. So God sends a prophet with his word. And anyone who professes to have some special gift or some special revelation better understand what vindication is all about, or they will find themselves on the ash heap wondering how they got so messed up in their thinking. Satan is the author of these little special revelations. The Jehovah Witnesses started with a little special revelation. The parousia would take place in 1914. That was their special revelation. Everybody's got a little special revelation, and they put, and I'll tell you if you know it's of God or not. Look at their actions. If they separate themselves and put other people out and say, I've got it, that's of the devil. That's not the Spirit of Christ. Right. That'll prove by their fruits you'll know them. If you believe the special revelation that you've got, I know that I know. And didn't they go around, Jimmy, in the early 80s? We know that we know that we know. And they didn't know diddly squat. We've got it, and they don't got it. They don't understand. They're not going to make it, but I'm going to make it. Are you? When you start putting people out, it shows you're not going to be there.
Right.
It shows you're the one that's not going to be there. God uses prophets to bring revelation. He does not bring it by teachers. He doesn't bring it by apostles. He doesn't bring it by evangelists. He doesn't bring it by pastors. That is not their role to the church. Their role is to build up the church. Brother Branham said this, people will do what they're ordained to do. So you want to chase that? Be my guest. I love you, but go ahead. Just go ahead. I love all of you. Hey, listen, if this is the last sermon I preach here, I'm at least telling you from my heart. And that's why I try to approach this pulpit every time. I'm not going to hold back from you. I'm not going to be guilty of your blood. You go and do what you're going to do because you're ordained to do it. I'm going to do what I'm ordained to do. And as Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I've got a vindicated prophet. That's all I need. Now, Brother Vail himself said in his question and answers in his pastor series, number 4, 1988, he said, quite known in religious circles, spiritual or unspiritual, but call it religious, there are people who are picky and troublemakers. And they're the kind who can't stand still. And until they pray through and believe and fight and through the problems of the church, until the church settles down and the pastor there either comes up to where he should be or God simply just moves the man away. Why? Why would the guy move the man away? Because he's fed up with the people. I've talked to pastors that have left churches because the people were just pick. I'm just thankful that you people aren't that way. But Brother Vail says this. He continues. They are picky people and they never grow up. They never amount to a hill of beans, but there are people who positively do have problems in the church. And some of the problems in the church are the very things that I am speaking of. And I would not sit in any congregation for 15 minutes where the congregation believed, or nor would I be in the pulpit where they believe that you have to hear me to make the rapture. Listen to it yourself. If you believe every word Brother Vail said, listen to it. Because he's telling you there's people that are idolaters. He said, I'm going to continue. Nor would I be in the pulpit where they believe that you have to hear me to make the rapture. Now let's get that flat just in case there's a little case of idolatry here. Now you know my testimony where Brother Bram said, and you know my stand is very strong. I have absolute faith in the ministry that God gave me, what the prophet said, and I stand here, and I'm not afraid of anybody. But that does not mean for one minute that you have to hear me to make the rapture. Absolutely, that is a fallacy. You are ridiculous. You are foolish. Now, is that pretty straightforward? The command is this, to hear what the prophet had to say, no matter who says it, as long as it's not perverted. And if you can't sit under somebody that can deliver the word of God in an unperverted manner, then simply hear the tapes and read the books. That's all. And just simply commit yourself to some good brother in the church that's a kind-hearted, sympathetic, godly brother to open the service and hope that God might send you somebody. So let's clear the air right here. You don't have to hear me to make any rapture. I fought that for years. Now, if he fought it for years and brought him to the condition that he was in those last 12 years, the struggle, the pain, the sorrow. And I know people sitting right here that spent many, many hours hours that I wasn't with them talking the word. They were there 24/7. You want to ask them, talk to them. I'll tell you. Again, he said in the series Spoken Word, Justification and Sanctification, the Spoken Word number 12, Brother Vail said, Now I'll go home tonight and hate myself for really lowering the boom on you, but I'm not finished yet, and I'll hate myself again, no doubt some several more times, and I'll cry when I think of those poor little kids that Bill Lew was even causing their parents to destroy by teaching them that you got to listen to me and follow me or you ain't going to make it. Let me tell you something for once and for all, and it's on tape, and anybody who says you got to follow me, I'm going to say you are a liar, a liar, a liar, and the truth is not in you, and you will go to the lake of fire. That's a warning. So take the warning. Because you're already on fire with the stupidity of sickness and sick sins called a lie. Oh, he hates that thought. You ain't got no thought coming. And he thinks it's coming for me. I don't have a thing coming. I'm trying to follow the word. Again, from Levell, who is this Melchizedek? Number 19, the body subject to the spirit, paragraph 36. You think you got to listen to me to make the rapture? If you think you got to hear me, you're nuttier than a fruitcake. Now, it might not hurt you, but you ain't going to make it by listening to me. The word of God does it, brother, sister, because you know why? This will come to pass, not what I say. I'm only trying to help. But when you put a constraint on that, you got to hear from Levell, you're off your rocker. If you say you got to listen to Brian Kosorek, you're off your rocker. You got to listen to a vindicated prophet who brought the word from Genesis to Revelation and tied it down so there's no if, and, or buts left. Now, again, from Levell, who is this Melchizedek? Number 37, questions and answers, paragraph 31. Now then, do you believe the tapes have everything in them to put you in the rapture? I'm going to ask that question because he's quoting Brother Brown here. How many believe that the tapes have everything that you have need of to make the rapture? Okay. Do you believe the tapes have everything in them to put you in the rapture, or do you need Billy Paul and Joseph and Lee Vail and a bunch of other people? You don't need any of us. You don't need any buddies, Brother Brown and Bosom Buddies, or cohorts or pals. Brother Brown told me so and so. Well, now I can tell you things that he told me, but you didn't need them. You didn't need them. If you're a real born-again person, you won't be all messed up in your thinking. Running here and running there with a bunch of loose ends, you'll have all your marbles. The Bible said he's not given a spirit of fear, but of love, of power, and of a sane mind. No, you're not a bunch of yahoos out here. Paul gave them exactly what God told him. So did William Brown. It's on tape, Brother Brown. Talked about the washerwoman who didn't even have a pastor, just had three tapes, and she made it. So let's just put it where it belongs. I deny categorically that anybody has to hear me because I don't even stand to hear myself to the rapture. That's the biggest bunch of hogwash and nonsense in the world, to make the rapture. Brother Vail didn't even like listening to his own sermons. You know why? Because sometimes he said things, it's like I'm doing this morning. So forgive me, I'm a little hard, but don't worry. It's out of love. So it gets down to vindication, and God did not vindicate a teacher. He did not vindicate a preacher of this hour. He vindicated his word through his prophet, period. Now, vindication is perhaps one of the most important things we can do as a believer in God and his word. It seems today among the Christian world that we're living in, again, in the days of Judges, where every man seems to think to do what's in his own eyes. And why is this the predominant attitude among the nations today? Because the people have turned down a vindicated prophet of God. It doesn't matter whether you claim to be a follower of God's prophet or not. The proof of your belief is the understanding of vindication. So then, what is vindication? And why is it so important to us? From the sign of his coming, Brother Brown said, but to the believer, it's a vindication of the truth of God's word that speaks of the coming sign. Amen. It vindicates God's word to be the truth. That's to the believer. Amen. The unbeliever, he's worried. He's dismayed. He's discouraged. He will say. You don't mean that you belong to a thing like that? See? He's just discouraged with it, but to the believer, it's honey in the rock, it's a vindication. Now, Brother Branham used the term vindication to explain God is a one-man message, and he deals with only one man. God is not dealing with Brian Kosorek to reveal the truth to the whole world. Uh-uh. I'm just saying what the prophet said and showing it by scripture as best I can. I go where he tells me to go, and I don't go when he don't tell me to go. I try as best I can in here. That's why we have 260 sermons, 268, you know, or right now we're at 133, and we're about two-thirds of the way through. That's why we take so many sermons to go through just one of Brother Branham sermons, because like the washerwoman, we could feed on that same sermon of his over and over and over. And every time you get more nourishment and you get more for your life. Now, so Brother Branham used the term vindication, and he used it in the understanding that God has a one man message and he deals with one man only. But men do not like this, for they seem to want their own say as to how God should do that or this. From who do you say this is? Brother Branham says that one man message, they didn't want it. No, they didn't want it. And God never did deal with one person, with more than one person at a time. It's always a one man message. When did he ever deal with the people outside of just one person? It's an individual. It ain't a group. And that can be taken two ways. God deals with you as an individual, but he doesn't deal with you as a group. And God dealt with the group with an individual, a prophet. God didn't come down in this hour and reveal himself so that you could see the pillar of fire with your own vision, your own eyes. And God didn't give you the messianic sign. That's only to one person. And that was to prove the presence of God was with that man. Brother Branham would stand there and he'd say, now, you know, I'm just helpless until he comes. And he said, I can't do nothing. You know, the Son said, I can of myself do nothing. But what the Father shows me that I do, he's here. He knew when he's here. Vindication is the real issue concerning our faith. Not so much that it was God who backed up William Branham's message, for all Pentecostal people believe that God works out of the heavens and he does fantastic things. They will never allow, though, they'll even allow for God to come down to do certain things, but the understanding that this vindication comes in the form of God's personal presence with his prophet, and that this presence was referred to by Brother Branham himself as the appearing of Jesus Christ, that has become the central theme or doctrinal fuss in the message. Amongst the message clergy today, because it comes in direct conflict with their understanding of the second coming of Christ as they have always perceived it. And this is due to the fact that they don't understand Godhead correctly. Brother Vail preached from 77 until about mid-80s on Perugia. Went into it in every facet. Look, it's like creating a pie or looking at a pie. You cut it. And you got a crust, you got the bottom, you got the middle, you got the layers, you got all the ingredients go into it. And that's the way Brother Vail is, very detail oriented. He go into just deep, deep, deep and show all these things. But then ministers started catching on and saying, yeah, he's here. The lamb is here. He said, what? He said, Brian, they don't understand who's come down when they start saying the lamb is here. So then for the next 20 years, Brother Vail went very much in depth into the Godhead and started preaching Godhead. And so then, what did people do? They threw away everything else, but you know what Brother Vail was teaching. They didn't realize what he preached in the 60s and 70s. Brother Vail preached faith like no one else could. And Brother Branham said, when I get my tent, I'd like you to preach faith in the evening to the people. You see? But people are throwing away faith. They say, we don't need it. Listen, that's what we're talking about. John 14:12 is about faith. It's about believing. It's about having the Holy Ghost in you. And if you go to God, you ask whatever you will. He said he would do it. And then you believe he would do it. Not hope so, know so. So in order, a close study of the principle of vindication will help us to understand better when it comes to the program of God. What is God doing right now? We have absolutely no say in what will happen. All God requires from you and me is to get ourselves totally out of the way and allow God to work through his chosen vessel, which was his prophet, according to Amos 3:7. Amos 3 and 6 says, shall the trumpet be blown in the city and the people not afraid? Shall there be evil in the city and the Lord hath not done it? Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants the prophets. The lion hath roared, who will not fear? The Lord hath spoken, who can but prophesy? Again, we find in the book of Deuteronomy, God's law concerning how the God will deal with his people. And since he is the same and changes not, then we cannot say that prophets are relegated to the Old Testament only, but we have references in the New Testament as well. Deuteronomy 18 and 15 says, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken. According to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb in the day of assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise up unto them a prophet from amongst their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all things that I command. And it shall come to pass that whoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name. What's presumption? venturing out without authority. Brother Branham said, it isn't, you know, you get all these Pentecostal preachers, let's stay at the Lord, this is going to happen. It don't happen. And for people to say, well, the Lord told me to do this, the Lord showed me to do this. Did he? Listen, as many wonderful things as I've seen in my own ministry, I'm very, very careful. I'll say something spoke to me. I said, now, I might believe it's God, but I can't tell you it was God. But whatever it was told me to do this, and when I did it, it came to pass. Now I can say, okay, and whatever it was that told me to do this had power to bring it to pass. Now, that's not visions. That's that inner working of the Holy Ghost. And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken for which they have spoken. I will raise up unto them a prophet from among the brethren like unto me, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all things that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto the words which he shall speak in my name, I will require of him. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the words which the Lord hath not spoken? When the prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is in the thing which the Lord hath not spoken, but the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. Well, what about when somebody says, well, I have a gift and it never fails? You're a liar. Where there are gifts, they shall fail. That's the scripture. How can you say what's contrary to scripture? Now, God set forth an order that has a very strict consequences for those who will not adhere to that order. He said, I will require it from you. So if you take the words of a teacher or an apostle or a pastor above the words of a vindicated prophet, God will require it of you. Well, where does that put you? That means you've got your source, and it takes God's voice to us in this generation. And if the fivefold ministry says the same thing, then bless God for it. But when they contradict it, or when they say, no, the man's wrong, I've got the right revelation of it, I got the right understanding, flee it. And he tells us, the one that is not right will not be vindicated. And I will not bring his words to pass because they are not my words. That's why we only had one vindicated in this hour. William Branham. Lee Bell was not vindicated. No, he wasn't. I'm not vindicated. No man's vindicated. We had a vindicated prophet. You know what makes vindication? It's not you being a good Christian. I mean, God will vindicate the fact that you're a Christian, but not vindicated that you're the man with the word. God will do things showing and live out of you. And those things, that just vindicates that you have God life living in you. Every one of the apostles, we have every one of the apostles. So Paul had the word for that hour. Yet we have Peter and John. People were healed by their shadow as it passed. God vindicated that they had walked with Christ and had the Spirit of Christ in them. But he didn't vindicate them to be the ones with the word for the hour. I'm sorry. The pillar of fire was throughout Paul's ministry all the way through. Throughout Brother Brown's ministry all the way through. It wasn't a lick of fire. And those people that put the emphasis on the lick of fire, because Brother Vail had a lick of fire, they blown that lick of fire into a pillar of fire. Let me tell you, let me just make it simple. There was 130 people in the upper room. 120 people in the upper room. How many of them were women? At least 8 of them were women. And one of them had been a prostitute. Mary Magdalene. And you know what? Mary Magdalene had a lick of fire above her. Huh? And the other Marys had a lick of fire above them. So you sisters, if you have the Holy Ghost, you've got that lick of fire over you. Now that puts it in perspective. It doesn't mean that he's the next man to come along. He's the eighth messenger. No, he had the Holy Ghost. He had the Holy Ghost. You know what the Holy Ghost is? It's the testimony of Jesus Christ. Isn't that what Brother Branham taught us? Isn't that what we've been reading? It's a testimony. Who's testifying? God is testifying. He bears witness with your spirit. God testifying. What does the book of Acts say? God testified through many things. Many signs and wonders even. So how will you know what's right, what's wrong? When it doesn't come to pass, the person not vindicated, then don't fear him. And we know God is very protective of his own word. Isaiah 55 and 10. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not hither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, and it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereunto I sent it. Now, from proof of his resurrection, Brother Brown said, there he stood and made himself known. He said, if you can't believe me, believe the works that I do. They testify the Father sent me. The works that I do are a vindication that the Father sent me. If that isn't sufficient, believe them then instead of me. So if you can't take me, the man, believe what God is doing, is what Brother Brown is saying. He's talking about Jesus, but his own ministry. If you can't take me because I've got an eighth grade education, I speak poorly, and I speak like a backwoods Kentuckian, believe the vindication. You understand? That's what Brother Branham is saying here. Went to Canada. Minister up in Canada said, Brother Vail, they're saying that they got to listen to you, but Brother Branham's gone, they got to listen to you to make it. He said, I went to that church and cleared the air. So the next year I was up at that church, and this guy was there. He called himself an apostle. And I went to him and said, you know, they're saying you're an apostle, got to hear you. He said, would he clear the air? No, he wouldn't clear the air. Brother Vail at least cleared the air on that. It's on tape. I read it to you. I know you might refuse to read it on your own or listen to it on your own, but I'm here and I'm telling you. Get that spirit off you. Because it's the same spirit that was in Jeffersonville on people there that made Brother Branham God, and now they make Joseph God. And when Joseph is gone, if the Lord takes him off the scene, they'll make his son God, because they've got to have a God in flesh. Because they don't have the God in their flesh. If you got God in your flesh, you don't need God in somebody else's flesh. You've got enough of God in you to listen and obey. And like Brother Branham said, just be a sweet, humble Christian. From Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, forever. But Jesus come by not preaching so forceful as John, but there were signs and wonders accompanying him. He said, if you can't believe me, believe the works that I do. If you can't believe me, believe the vindication that the Father has given me. For the works that I do, the same testify that the Father has sent me. What a statement. Think of it. The works that I do testify that the Father has sent me. Man can make any kind of statement, but if God don't back that statement up, you've got a right to say it's wrong. But when God comes around and confirms that statement to be the truth, that it's sin to disbelieve it. For what is sin? Sin is one thing, unbelief. That's right. You couldn't say how much of that is right. It's all right. And in the daytime, you couldn't just say that so much of this is day. It's all day. Jesus said, he that believeth not is condemned already. Faith is in God, and unbelief, that's the two things. One is sin, and the other one is salvation. Now listen, so what did Brother Bell tell me so many times? Get your eyes off the vessel, and get your eyes on what God is doing with the vessel. Because it's God using the vessel. The pillar of fire, that wasn't God. That was just showing the presence of God. The burning bush, that wasn't God. That was God in the bush. The rock that was called Christ, the rock that followed in the wilderness, that wasn't Christ. It was called Christ. That was an anointed rock. The bush was anointed bush. That picture there, the lick of fire, that's not God himself. That's the presence of God that's encapsulating the presence of God. Like the Bible says, he clothes himself with a cloud or as a light. All right, that's clothing of God, letting us know where he's here. But we don't worship those things. It's idolatry to do so. It's idolatry. You know what that means? Death. And Deuteronomy 13:1. If there arise among you a prophet or dreamer of dreams, and give thee a sign or wonder, and the sign or wonder comes to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go off after other gods which thou hast not known, and let us serve them, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him, and keep his commandments, and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him, and cleave unto him. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he has spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt, and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, and thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commandeth thee to walk. So shalt thou put away evil from the midst of thee. So test it with the word. Brother come along to you and say, well, I have a perfect gift. I can translate from this language to this language. It's perfect. That's hogwash. That is pure, unmitigated hogwash. I don't believe that for one second, that gift is perfect. Now, it might be true that the brother, you know, somehow God allowed a person to be able to see things he didn't see before, but that's not perfect. And then, so what if it is? You can get it from this language to your language, but what about going from the other language to that language? Is that perfect? No. When that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Brother Vail could, he had visions and he could discern. But you know what? It wasn't perfect. And you know what the prophet said? Put it away. And he put it away. That's why Brother Vail said, he would say about, you know, well, the gifts are on the shelf, so to speak. Well, he told me personally, he said, as long as the giver is here, the gifts are here. But the fact is that the gifts aren't perfect. That's why you put them away. That's why you focus only on the word, on the giver. As Brother Brown said, and that giver is love. Check your motive with everything. If your motive is to get to your place where you make yourself somebody, I've got a special revelation. Nobody else has it. Listen, I've met 1,000. If I haven't met one, I've met 1,000 in this message who have approached me that way. I've got this great revelation, and I'd sit there and, well, I could, you know, they just, all these quotes going off into what, I couldn't even follow the direction they're going. Have you ever heard any of those people? Jim, I know you probably heard. I have enough trouble with Brian Kosorik. I have enough trouble with this. I have enough trouble with, when I see things that are just so claptrap and balderdash that I get angry with it. So I don't have that, which is, I mean, I don't have a perfect gift. I do have a gift. But I'm not going to say it's perfect. But I'm going to say one thing. I have a perfect giver, and he's a perfect forgiver. Huh? He gives and he forgives. And I'm so thankful for the forgiving, even more than the giving. Okay. Hebrews 2:1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to those things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his will. Now, I think I've hit this hard enough. I'm just going to read a couple more quotes real close. From a guide, Brother Brown said, it was a vindication there, and there was a living God inside of him. What he testified, it's not me that doeth the works, it's my Father that dwelleth in me. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do of himself do nothing, but whatsoever he seeth the Father doing, that the Son doeth likewise. The Father worketh, and I worketh hitherto. In other words, God shows him what to do, and he went and just acted it out. He didn't do anything until God told him to do it. So, who's the big one? You see, too many people want to make, look what I did. You didn't do nothing. You just acted out what he told you to do. How many of you have ever had a vision? How many of you have ever had dreams that come to pass? All right. In the dream come to pass, did you actually make the dream come to pass? No. In fact, when Brother Brown tried to make the vision happen, he found out you can't do that. So then he learned his lesson. He had to sit back and wait for all the pieces to be in the right place. Then the vision would happen. You can't make the vision come to pass. Your timing will be off. Timing's part of the vision. You see? That's the real frank facts of it. If we just move and wait till the Holy Spirit moved us to do it, that's it. And then be so completely lost in Christ that he don't have to shove you around like he does to me. But the first little nod of his head, you're ready and nothing's going to stop you because you know that it's the will of God. And in 20th century prophet, Brother Brown said, there are always two men or two groups who demonstrate power, but one has a wrong source of power. The spirit of Antichrist is here as well as the spirit of Christ. The spirit of Antichrist is Satan's prophet. Satan's prophets is so close to the real and true spirit of God that only the very elected will escape the deception. Matthew 24:24-24. And except these days should be shortened, there should be no flesh saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo here, or lo here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall rise false Christ and false prophets, and show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. These true elect ones take the word. When these true elect ones see the prophet and his acts of power, and see that he is right with the word and never deviates, they know that he is of God, and they receive him. All that prophet says and does leads them closer to him who is coming soon. They look for no other vindication. This is the vindication. That's all we need to know. Are you, when you listen to that vindicated prophet, drawing closer and closer and closer to Christ? Or are you not? When you listen to any minister, and if it's me, God forgive me, but if you listen to any minister that gets your angst up and wants to make you fight and go out there and fight with somebody, that's not an anointing from God. I'm sorry. That is not an anointing from God. Jesus, the Spirit of Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's where we should be focused on. That is the rest. That is the peace. And when Brother Branham said people are going to do what they're going to do, we have to learn that people are going to do what they're going to do. Just sit back and let them go. I asked Brother Collins this week. I said, Brother Collins, what do you do? What do you do when people have left the tabernacle? I said, do you go after him? He said, no, I don't go after him. I said, why? He said, if they're not happy being in the tabernacle, he said, then why would I want them to stay? He said, I'll pray for them. And if they go to another church, I'm happy for them. If they want to just stay home and whatever, that's their business. So that's the way it should be. We don't chase after people. We love people. We love them in or you love them out. And you can't make people think how you think unless they got the same spirit that you're thinking with. And if you got the Holy Ghost and a person doesn't have the Holy Ghost but they think they got the Holy Ghost and you tell them they don't have the Holy Ghost, they're going to get mad. So just let them go. Let them find out the hard way. And if they're God's seed, they'll come back. If they're God's seed, they'll find out the hard way. And if they don't, if they're not God's seed, then I'm sorry, but a little leaven will leaven the whole lump. And that one person will start to move amongst people in the church, and they'll say, the pastor's false, he's teaching false, and blah, blah, blah. And they'll start a little bit of isms in the church, and it's not good to have. So that's where I'm coming from. Brother Branham is so clear on vindication. Brother Vail was so clear on vindication. And he said, unless we got a spirit of idolatry in this church, I'm going to make it. I'm just going to hit it so hard. He said, I'm going to feel bad because I hit it so hard. But I'm going to I have to hit it so hard. Like Brother Branham said, we got to clench that nail to make it hit, to make it stick. And if we don't, then we're guilty. You know, we can be real passive and, oh, brother, believe anything you want to. God bless you. That's not helping the person. You know, when my kids got off the track, I mean, they got a whack. So if you get a whack from me once in a while, I'm not meaning it personal. I'm just saying, look, get your focus right. If that little washerwoman only needed three tapes, three of Brother Branham's tapes to make the rapture, that's where you should be feeding from. I've always made Brother Vail's tapes available. You know that. They've been with me for years. They've always been in the church library. And then we gave sets out to everybody, and we put them on the website so everybody could have it. I did more of that than his own church did. I made Brother Vail's available. But I always continued to listen to Brother Branham. I would go and I'd talk with Lee, or I'd go up and hear the services for 22 years. And I love Brother Vail's ministry. But I'm telling you something. Brother Vail is not my absolute. My absolute is the word of God through a vindicated prophet. And if you don't like that, I'm sorry for you. Now, I don't wish you to leave over that. Because if you leave over that, then you're wrong. I'm telling you what I believe. I'm telling you where I stand with. And if I can't teach what Brother Vail taught, but not with his words, with my words, taking it from the same source he got it from, then there's something wrong with you. And if I'm preaching heresy, you have a right to come and talk to me. But don't go around the church saying, well, Brian's off the word. Okay, Brian's off the word. Show me the scripture. All I've ever asked you is show me where Brother Branham said it or where the scripture says it contrary to what I'm saying. But you can't do it. You know why? Because you got a special revelation. Well, that tells me that's from the devil. Because if you can't give it to me by the word, then it's not from God, your revelation. It's from man. And you've fallen under the bondage of another man. So that's where we lay it. I'm sorry, I love you all. God's got a lot of children. And I believe many of them are here in this little congregation. But this is only, listen, this little congregation is only a speck of what he's got around the world. He's got a lot of children out there. When I started going to Africa, people say, well, you think that there's one that might understand? I said, brother, they understand better over there than they do over here. Because they see it by the word. They see it in the word. They see it in the prophet. I teach what William Branham taught. I teach what, and that was Jesus Christ. I teach what Brother Vail taught, and that was Jesus Christ. You get your own personal relationship with Jesus Christ. God bless you. And I apologize for being so hard this morning, but I just felt I had to. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We love you, Lord, with all our heart. We know, Father, that there is no perfect one. There's no perfection this side of the resurrection. But yet in our soul we strive, O God, for that perfection. And none of us has that perfect peace, O God, because our minds are not stayed on Thee. But you said there would be perfect peace for those whose minds were stayed on Thee. But as Brother Brown said, we let so many things distract us. We let our job, we let our wife, we let our husband, we let different ones come in, and they just get our minds off of Thee. So, Father, we just pray that we would come to that place of perfect rest, the place where your prophet came and he said, I have no more fear. Because we know that you have not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of a sound mind and a spirit of love. Help us, Lord, then to have that love, because we know that it is eternal. And we know that it is you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.